So just a little bit of a recap of where we've been, right? So when we started the retreat, we were looking at what is compassionate speech that makes for clarity. And looking at the framework, there's a way in which we can tell that if that is compassionate speech, something is operating us not necessarily to not necessarily behave in that way, right? And we looked at that in the first exercise that we did about how much the ego I and the ego you are having a conversation. And when that's happening, we're not in touch with what's going on for me, for the human being. So the first tool of communication is to really get clear about not being in the head, but really get clear about what's going on for the human being. It's also interesting if we get clear about what the conversation is doing, right? Because just like I think everyone's familiar with a process map, the reason to create a process map is to be able to bring awareness to where we are, right? I'm in my process map is an awareness that drops in after we know what the process map is. That's how we know we're in the conversation, right? And so what we're going to do this morning is actually explore the conversation a little bit, because that conversation is maintaining a sense of me, right? There's an identity there that feels like me. Me thinking is the conversation in conditioned mind. So what's that me that we're going to be looking at that a little bit. And we're going to use a model. And so if we pay close attention to how we are in communication with someone else, we would become aware that we are trying to give a message to the other person about how we want to be perceived. Is that everybody's experience, right? That I'm actually communicating to the other person how I want them to see me. And so let's identify that message for everybody, right? What is the message that you are trying to communicate? And it's a very base message. So the model actually offers us some examples. And what I'd like you to do is to look at the model and see if any of them resonate. And if it doesn't resonate, I mean, or how you could work the words in order to make it resonate more for you. So you might either find yourself in the model or a version of yourself, and then work the message for it to be the message you think you're communicating to someone in a communication. And the model refers to that message as the interpersonal message. This is the message that you're giving as you're interacting with people. So the exercise is, which of these most closely represent you? Note the letter beside the example. If there's a way you would phrase the message so it feels more accurate for you, go ahead and do that. Am I in the way?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes.
Depending on the circumstance, I have a different communication style.
So pick a circumstance.
Okay.
And that's a good thing to explore as to whether or not the message is the same. Intrinsically, who you are might still be the same. Not helpful. If you can find your Enneagram and you think that it resonates, then absolutely go for it. But it's the reason I didn't present it that way is for exactly that reason. Yes.
A couple of questions. The first is this material also in the book?
No. Okay.
So this is separate. And, okay. Can you post this?
Let's just do the exercise, Joni, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, then my other question is, you've got several statements under each category, whatever category that is. But are they all supposed to kind of hang together?
Well, you just look at it. If there's one statement in one that resonates for you and another statement in another that resonates for you, great. Use both.
Okay.
But the answer is that it does hang together in the example.
Some I just don't see that.
You don't have to. Right? So this is an interesting process to watch, right? We're presented with something and we can watch the scrambler work. What is this? Let me define it. Let me understand it, right? The invitation is simply, is there anything over there that jumps out at you? And if so, how does it feel like it is you?
Can we mix them up?
Yes. Just because whichever resonates, you're trying to find your interpersonal message.
Okay. So, in other words, picking the letter isn't so much the point. It's finding your interpersonal message.
Yes, you find your interpersonal message. It might be that all of one letter, the letter is just helpful because we're going to walk through a model. So if you found one that absolutely resonates, absolutely perfectly, great. If not, just find your interpersonal message and see if you can work it out. Is there something, Janet?
I want to say I'm really confused, so I'm just picking lines from different messages.
Yeah, that's fine. And one of the ways that could assist you to do that is to picture a communication and see in that communication who you are. What are you trying to communicate to that person? Not the content, but who you are trying to be in that communication. So for example, in this, if we were having this conversation, we're communicating, your words are, I'm confused. But if you check in to what do you want, what are you trying to communicate to me, I'll project, I don't know. I need some assistance. Mm-hmm. I don't know, can you help me?
See, I never would have gotten that.
So what is it for you?
Well, no, I think it was that.
Right?
But I didn't see that.
That's right. That's what, I mean, so we're trying to tease that out, right?
Got it. Thank you.
But that's not what you said.
No. Yeah.
Right?
Totally got it. Okay. Thank you.
And this is just guidelines, right? If I asked you to come up with that on your own, it would be really difficult. So it's good to see something against what you can bounce off. John, that's an interesting thing because this is what gets said what gets communicated as who you are, not what necessarily gets said. Yes?
Am I supposed to be writing that down?
Well, write your interpersonal message. So either if something resonates for you, pick one. And if it works just that way, great. If not write it, write down what would be the message that you're attempting to communicate to someone. How do I want to be perceived in this interaction? Nancy?
I narrow it down to two, and I see how I play maybe with a different person. So
great, let's just take both and work through it.
Okay.
I'll pick one, it doesn't matter. What we're trying to do is to get a process tool in place.
Just to be clear, you'd like us to identify the letter that's closest to us? And then
no, I want you to be able to give me your interpersonal message. So if in a communication with someone, who are you trying to communicate being? So perhaps an example would work.
In my own words?
Yes, in your own words.
And what is this supposed to do then?
It's just, it's a guideline. Okay. Any of these messages are your messages.
Okay.
And it's an example of how to phrase it. Right? Instead of saying, I am right.
Okay.
Right? That may be actually one of the messages is I'm actually, you can rely on my ability to be absolutely correct about my information.
Okay, and so that is supposed to help us get to...
Yes, to see if it triggers any of those messages.
Okay.
Because it is a model that is based on types. So maybe your type resonates, maybe it doesn't. How are people doing?
I need some more time.
Pardon?
I need some more time.
Okay.
And I have something that's not up there.
Great.
Okay?
Right. That's fine. Yes, sorry, Paul.
So where do we go with it from here?
I'll lead you through the next place. Just hang on a second. You good, Carol? Do you need more time?
I'm good with more time.
Okay.
So we can take little pieces of any one of those things and make out
Yes. Yes. And the question is, what is the message that closely is the most accurate way of stating how you want to be perceived in the communication? And there's a general dominant way that happens, right? Yes.
Is it, it's how I want the other person to see me, not the underlying message that I'm right now seeing as I'm writing it.
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
How is it that you want, when you take an interaction, right? Take an interaction with a friend. You want to be perceived as friendly. So I'm on your side. However that message is, I really, really like you. And I want you to know that you can tell me anything.
Okay. All right. I think I jumped ahead a little bit. Okay.
Carol.
Is this what they're going to say or what I'm going to say?
It may not be what you say, but it's what you energetically want them to know.
Okay.
Right? You might say it. But that's how you want to be perceived. Janet. There's no way to get this right. It's an exploration. Go ahead.
Well, that's what I keep coming up with, because sometimes I do want to be like, yeah, I'm on your side, and, you know.
Yeah, so pick
sometimes
one.
Sometimes I want to be, don't mess with me.
Great. Pick both, and then work with one.
Okay. Thank you.
The point is to, this is an awareness practice, right? Did you know that you were communicating a message that you, I mean, the whole notion is to pay attention to the fact that we think communication is happening on one level of I'm confused, but what's really happening is I want help, but that's not what I'm saying, right? So who do I want to be in this communication? Who do I want you to think I am is the first place we're exploring in communication.
Someone who's not confused.
Someone who's not confused. So I'm really clear about what you're saying could be your message. You don't have to explain anything to me. Right? I mean, it's truly, as you said, it might be different in different circumstances, but the point is to try to find a circumstance and become aware of what you want the other person to perceive you as. Okay, shall we move on?
Yes.
Okay. So, who I want to be perceived as is influenced by who I believe I need to be in order to be okay.
Could you repeat that?
Who I need you to perceive me as is influenced by who I believe I need to be in order to be okay. Yeah? Right? So if I need you to see that I've done my research, right? It means that I'm a kind of person who believes that I need to be completely dialed in and on top of everything. Right? That's what's influencing my communication to you. I'm on top of it. I need you to see me as someone who's totally on top of it, right? And so then what I do or how I do what I do is influenced by that also. So I'm going to do my research. If I believe that I need to be on top of it, what I'm going to do is get everything sorted out and then project, you know what? That's who you need to see me as, right? The model calls those messages identity messages, right? Who I need to be okay, and how I need to be in order to bolster that identity. So if you did find your example by a letter, you might just look at that. Or look to see if any of those resonate, and if the language doesn't work for you, change the language. So the question for you is, who do you believe you need to be in order to be okay? And therefore, how are you in order to be that?
Who I need to be to be okay.
Okay. Does anyone need help? Is everybody good? Sequoia, are you good?
I'm just seeing that who I need to be, it's kind of like the first exercise I can pick and choose from that.
Yeah, absolutely. List. This is, okay. which is the, so someone said this is the Enneagram, but you might not, that not, might not be your message, even though you thought it's your message forever and ever and ever because you identify yourself as an I. Bill.
What happens if I can identify with something on this side, but the wording's not quite on the other
then
side?
Then rework the wording.
Okay.
It's called freedom. Yeah, it's really a way for you to look to see what your messages are. June?
Well, it's characteristic of men to identify with all the times.
Aha.
It's good to keep that in mind.
Okay. All right.
I'm lost.
Okay.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, well, is that your interpersonal message, or is that, so what is that, who do you need to be? Who do you have a sense of, what do you need to be okay?
There in the present, and if I can be helpful with someone.
Yeah, so my message is, my identity might be, may I be, I can be helpful, right?
Oh, I can.
Yeah, I can be helpful. And so what I do is going to tell you, how can I help you? So I'm. It could be, I know what people want and need, and I'm good at fulfilling those needs.
Thank you.
Okay, people good? Can we move on? All right, so what happens when we suffer in communication is that what we receive or perceive we receive challenges who I want you to perceive me as, who I am, or how I need to be, right? So any one of these messages that we identify, if it gets challenged in the interaction, we're going to suffer. Everybody get that? So does anyone want an example?
I'd like to.
Okay. So let's just say that person A wants to be seen as supportive and thoughtful and kind and sensitive, right? And person B is an independent, capable, competent, on top of it kind of person. So person A perceives person B as needing support, right? And says something helpful, and I'm going to support you, and I want to help you, and whatever it is, they say that, right? And person B takes it as, oh my God, you think I'm incompetent? Right? And so then person A gets hurt because I was just trying to help, be helpful, and you took it as ha 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 ha. And person B goes, well, don't you see I'm competent? Why are you trying to help me? If you knew me, you would know I don't need any help. Yeah?
And then person A gets her feelings hurt because you don't need me.
That's right. Exactly. Right? So take an example of a communication where you suffer and see if you can identify which of the messages is being thwarted or being confronted or challenged, which is what causes you to suffer, right? That's your next step. Is that clear to everybody?
Could you repeat that, please?
So take a communication, just like the person A and person B scenario, right? And see if you can, so you're trying to be somebody, does that get challenged by that the person you're interacting with? Or is it that I'm trying to be somebody and I'm telling you who I am and something you say challenges who I am? Or something you say challenges what I do in order to be who I am? Right, so let's just say I'm a good researcher and I'm on top of it. And your response completely with whatever's going on with you is, that fact's not true. Right? You just challenged my research. Or how can you jump to conclusions like that? And here I am having an identity of having never jumped to conclusions and going through every single thing to produce this analysis for you. And you just say, well, I don't believe that. I believe you left out this section of it. Or whatever, right? So what we're looking at is, take any communication example and see if you can tell where the suffering happens because one of your messages is challenged or thwarted or opposed or... Is everyone following?
Yeah.
Janice?
Yeah, I was just finding that helpful to reflect on the examples from yesterday afternoon.
On the feedback, uh-huh. Yeah, take it's always helpful really to work helps. With the concrete.
Yeah.
Anyone needs help? Lisa?
Well, okay, you could do both, right? You could be a hybrid. For example, like with your example of the research, that research example, you could use that to show you're right. Like
oh,
you've done all the research, somebody out here communicating
yes.
with
yes, however the content okay. flavor works.
Yeah.
If your identity is, I'm right.
Well, it could be the researcher. I don't know.
Yeah,
but just
go with it, Lisa, it's
okay.
fine. And watch your process, right? Because...
Yeah.
I project that you're right, we are different in different situations, we communicate differently and whatever the cascades are. But the point of this process is simply to bring awareness to how we explore suffering around communication. And this is a model for that. And believe me, it will come together by the end of the retreat. Well, I hope it will. We'll see. Otherwise, something has happened in suffering around communication. Does everyone have an example? Okay. So here's the gem, right? The identity that we have is constructed to compensate for a core message that we received when we were growing up about what's wrong with us. Whatever identity we construct is to compensate for a core message that we received growing up about what was wrong with us, what's wrong with you, something wrong with me. And every one of us has some flavor of the something wrong with you, right? Here's what the model has. So pick yours. Again, pick the one that most resonates for you. And if the language does not work, fix the language.
And it might be a different letter than it was.
Whatever works for you. And so here's the thing. So when the communication happens and it goes south, the conversation and conditioned mind, whether we're aware of it or not, is reinforcing that core message, as a consequence of which we feel bad. Right? That's the suffering in the communication. What is your core message? So take your example and look at it. What is the core message for you? Questions? It's hateful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you have a question, Risa? You good? Everybody got that cool message? So just take a moment to review what you saw in that, right? How the communication results in suffering because of the interplay of all of these messages. Just what did you see in doing that exercise? Well, we're going to process it, so hang on a second. Just jot down what it is that is arising for you as you look at this model and notice your messages, your identity, whatever drops in. Yes? Pick one or look at it further and see if there's underneath that a really, really core message of, you know, there's just something wrong with you. Right? But it's helpful to be able to know the nuance for you. However closely you can get to it. We're not trying to be accurate here. Hopefully the model will allow us to we're going to use this model to apply to a bunch of communication situations. It's a tool. So it doesn't have to be, all we're doing is exploring.
I mean, I do kind of see one that's more core than the others.
Great.
But I can see where the others kind of dump into it.
Yeah, so maybe so. There's so many layers here.
Okay. And then, like, it's interesting because in the very beginning, I related more to one letter, but as I've gone through this, another letter is coming more.
It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant what the label is, so long as you can identify the messages. All right. So find someone you do not know and have not spoken with, and partner up with them, please. Jeff, would you? Decide who's going to go first and who's going to go second.
I can go second.
Okay. Masha, have you talked to God? Okay, let's break you up. Have you, either of you, spoken to Finn and Sequoia? Todd, Masha, have you spoken to Phil? Okay, can we break you up and talk to each other? All right, decide who's going to go first and who's going to go second. And when the bell rings, if person number one would tell their partner about what they saw in reviewing the model and their messages. Okay, begin.
The background, a little bit of the background is that I came here with my husband and he's not here now. And I saw him in the dining room and had a nervous stomach, so I'm a little bit distracted that something's not well. So that I've been going in and out of being here and where I'm at. And it's all of you, so it's all over the shop. So that was going on. Then as I listened, as I did, somebody mentioned, and identified as an actor. And then it kind of went through several reiterations while people were talking. But I think what it came up with is that when I, the interactions that are most troubling to me is when my husband's upset with me. And I think how I want to be perceived is that I'm someone who has good intentions and doing the best I can. That's kind of always been on me for having, I may not be skillful, but my heart is open, I'm doing the best I can, and I have good intentions. And then when I'm criticized, then that makes that part invisible, and it goes back to, reverts to the core message that I'm incompetent. That's what's wrong with me, I'm just incompetent. And the other part of that, I keep going between a one and a three, side incompetence, and then ugly, that, not like physically ugly, but just like an ugly person, like somebody just the opposite of good intentions. And so it's interesting to look at it that way, that that's that. And I can criticize, I can collapse into this little 5-year-old that gets defensive and sad and belligerent all at the same time. And I can see that that's, there's still that believes that, that's convinced. So it really taps into an old story that's been going on for many years. And that is still believable in some, finishing always find evidence of something that I can't do. Obviously. So there's, when the finishing screen starts, my point of incompetency is always there. So, but I think that's what it is. It's just that heartfelt desire to be seen as someone whose always intentions are so pure. Just all of do it. It's not something one can do by themselves.
unflappable confidence, and yet inside, I can't do it. And then I guess, and then what happens is I get super frustrated because the beating sort of happens. And so my core message is, I'm inconsequential and I'm inadequate, but really, actually, one sort of hit home was I'm unsupported. No one wants me. And that feels really true because I have, as a child, I have two older brothers and they were meeting I was different, other than my mother, like I was different than the people in my family who had power. My dad, my brothers, and felt like nobody, I have memories of my brothers being like, get out of here, we don't want you around. And so I always come back to this, I'm not supported, but yet I have to project this thing like I can do it all by myself. And it makes me extremely frustrated. So just give up on a lot of things. And it's so,
so lonely
that I have have this belief that I have to do it myself. But that's my objective in reality. That's what I hate the most.
Other person is going to see you. So can you, are you willing to share your core message?
Yes, yeah. Well, it's A.
Okay.
And so with A, you know, the core message, it would be that, you know, I'm wrong or inappropriate, for example. Uh-huh.
You're wrong or inappropriate. And so how do you see how that affects the communication?
Well, I want to be right.
You want to be right. Aha. Uh-huh. You want to be right.
I want to be right. And I want to be perceived as being right. I'm also helpful. I think whatever the situation, the conversation calls for, is I've got a way to do it.
Uh-huh.
And it's the right way. And you should do that.
Yes. And so when that gets, you can see how, if that's how you're coming across, and someone has a different way to do it, then there's that clash, right? That we retire feeling, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. I'm wrong. Because that person is actually not going to do it the way I'm going to do it.
Right, or they're telling you, you know, they don't need help, or
they don't
even be bought, you know, like, you don't even need to tell me any of these things.
Yes, don't tell me any of these things. Yeah. It's amazing how the scrambler takes it, right, to maintain that message of telling you you're wrong and influencing how you are in all of these situations and then interpreting the response as maintaining I.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Benny.
I found this absolutely fascinating. And
can you hear? Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. And so the basic way to the first part that I wanted to perceive is I've got this.
You've got this.
I'm competent.
I'm competent.
And so the core message is that I'm inconsequential and incompetent.
The core message is I'm inconsequential and incompetent.
And I would never have seen that because I've been competent enough that I don't have to see that that's a compensation.
Yes, amazing, right? That I'm competent enough so I actually don't have to see that it's a compensation.
Yeah.
That the thing that, I was just looking at this with Jen, we're not allowed to see it.
Right.
Right? That there's enough of a compensation and a feeling of who I am that I don't know that that thing is operating at such a subliminal level, keeping the whole thing in place.
Right. And it helps explain why I have a hard time taking correction or, you know, someone telling me that I'm doing it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And why I'm so quick to take offense at that.
Yes.
That I hadn't really understood. And the other thing that really rose
to me, did you hear that? Yeah.
As I look at it is, I didn't see anything in the way I was raised that would give rise to that message other than I'm the youngest child.
Uh-huh.
So I think it was the scramble to be like the big kids. But what really arises for me is tremendous compassion.
Yes.
for this person.
Yes.
Who's operating from that and yes. doesn't need to.
Yes, tremendous compassion for the person operating from that place and does not need to, and largely because it's unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew that that's where you were operating from, there's a different choice. But the compensation has been what has been true for so long that there's no notion that underneath that there's a constant reinforcement of you're not, and therefore you have to compensate.
And what arises as you say that is that when I can catch myself reacting that way,
yes,
and know where that comes from, I can just say, "Oh, I love you."
Yes,
and that one gets reassured.
Yes, exactly. That we only know that there's something operating subliminally when we watch ourselves get defensive or feel like I don't want to take that correction. And then to turn our attention to the exercise that we did yesterday, which is what's going on for me? And how can I get clear and therefore provide what is being told to me here, not necessarily told to me here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Kevin. We'll come back.
And the identity message is what just hit it home for me was I'm special and unique.
I'm special and unique. Uh-huh. So that hit home for you.
Where I'm caught up with a lot of that is I'm in the arts. I'm a performer, right? So I'm special and unique.
Uh-huh.
But I also was born with a physical disability.
Uh-huh.
And that has been the through line of condition throughout my life.
Uh-huh.
I have special doctors. I do things differently. Everything is special. So all of a sudden, there's this pile of just karmic stuff as a through line. And what's interesting is selling myself as a performer, having a disability, being very upfront about it these days, is that I should be cast based on my uniqueness and being this special person.
Uh-huh.
But it's an industry where you're constantly up against someone saying, next, who else, and why? Because I have a lot of people who think they're special and unique. And it was just fascinating to kind of see how conditioned that is on both sides, as a performer and a person with disability. And what came up was conditioning is so, it analyzes the risk and it analyzes the result. And it's predetermined.
Yes.
So there's really no place to live within.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and so trying to track there, right, Kevin, so there is a fact of being different that you're aware of. And you're in an industry that sort of normalizes specialness and uniqueness. Right? Is that the place where it's difficult to be because there's no exit?
I'm being scrambled at the moment, so there's a lot of places. Like that's one of them.
Right.
So,
is your core message that you're not, or is your core message that you are?
That I am. Mm-hmm. One that I am and I shouldn't be.
Well, yes, that one that you are and you shouldn't be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that, I project what you're pointing to is as you look at it, to see how much those messages influence who you are and how you are.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's the takeaway.
And when I'm here, mm-hmm. and I can get space mm-hmm. and clarity, then like this trueness, this beauty, this ease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not in this. Yeah.
Just is so clear.
Yes.
And you realize what actually is matters
yes.
to this being and what literally doesn't.
Yes. Yeah. So the absence of that conditioned conversation that's operating the reality of whether or not you're special, whether or not you're accepted for being unique, whether or not you have to say that you are, whether or not you have to defend that, all of that is what falls away.
Yeah.
Right? And then what you're left with is, none of those messages are operating. That's the place of ease where none of the messages are operating. See if I can take a few. Risa.
So I chose an example with my mother before we looked at the core conversation,
uh-huh.
The core messages, which is an extra juicy place because she was a large part of my childhood.
Uh-huh.
So I saw that I was one of the core, one of the identities that I believed I needed to be was strong and powerful.
Strong and powerful.
And then there was this additional layer of conditioning that got in there that because I needed to be that way, then she also needed to be that way.
Uh-huh.
And I project that in this example I'm thinking of, she was being her authentic and special, which was communicating an authentic experience that was not strong and powerful,
uh-huh.
right? But what was happening for her and communicating that she needed help.
Mm-hmm.
So then...
So let's see if I'm tracking, right? So the identity is strong and powerful, and usually, if that's our worldview, that's what we value. Right? So I project, the ego is projecting on me, I'm projecting out. Strong and powerful, everybody needs to be strong and powerful, so the weak, no space in my universe for that kind of thing. And here's your mother, who you expect to be strong and powerful, interacting with you about something that strong and powerful orientation would deem as weak. Right? Not strong and powerful.
And then to look at the so then conditioning manufactures some anger, but then to look at the core messages as something that I was told as a child. So the congruent core message is vulnerable and weak.
Mm-hmm.
So if conditioning has got me believing subconsciously that my mother is telling me that I'm vulnerable and weak. While I'm trying to communicate that I'm strong and powerful to overcompensate
Brilliant.
For that,
mm-hmm.
while she's communicating that she's weak, I'm reacting.
Wow. Right, because at this level, you're told it's not good to be vulnerable and weak, right? And then so you're compensating for that by being strong and powerful, and then you're getting vulnerable and weak at this level. What we're watching is all of the collisions of all of those messages. No wonder we feel confused. Right? Well, or suffer, right? Because there's a way in which I have to make sense of everything that's going on for me, and I'm not clear about it. Here's me trying to be something, not receiving that, not being mirrored in that way, and then being undercut from underneath by all of this conditioning.
Yeah, so I saw myself in a place in which I was in this conditioned anger at my mother for not reflecting what I was trying to project, and then also angry at reacting against this subconscious conditioned message.
Yes.
And then also reacting this additional level of self-hate for having that reaction of anger and hatred towards my mother that didn't, period, and also that was incongruent with like the simple conversation that we were having.
Right, right. So many levels. I hope I can reflect it, because what you said is so true in terms of how it happens, right? So here you are interacting with your mother, attempting to be seen in a particular way, and you're not mirrored that way. And what arises is the anger against, why can't she see me as whatever? While being told that you can't be weak and vulnerable, and being angry at that, and then being the self-hate on top of, you shouldn't be angry about any of those things.
And also, why can't she be strong and powerful?
Why can't she?
That's the right way to be.
Yes, all of those. And so what you're articulating for us is what we started the conversation with, is all these messages are always operating in a communication. So you can't be present to that simple conversation that you are having. But you don't have to project strong and powerful, and she can be whoever she is, and you can be whoever you are. And it's all interfered with, right? To maintain a sense of who I am, which is layered, because we're not just one person. I'm trying to be you at this level. I know who I am at this level. I know how I'm supposed to be at this level. And I'm being told who I really am at this level. There are like four levels operating that are being contradicted at all times in the interaction by the conversation in your head. Oh my God.
And in the case of my mother, it's all of that for her. And also she's a figurehead for any experience I had as a child, right. No matter when or where it happened.
Yes, it's a giant projection, right? Conditioning gets projected onto your mom. Yeah. Yeah, and to get to that place of compassion where, if that's all going on for me, my God, what's going on for her, right? We're both toast in this interaction. Elizabeth, and then June.
Okay, so really quickly, I think this enlightens me as to what was going on with me last night in group when I raised my hand, because I was getting aggravated by my perception or experience of a dissonance in, you know, whoever sits on that cushion and what different mixed messages. So on my radar, unconsciously, it's always what's trustworthy and safe. And so when I experience a dissonance in messages or mixed messages, or like sometimes I'm hearing this thing, sometimes I'm hearing this thing, sometimes this thing is what you get a pat on the back for, sometimes this thing is what you get, you know. Uh-huh. That's, I think, where that
lack of safety is.
Yeah, and it's like some unconscious, the untrustworthy radar, and then it's not safe, or I don't know, some version, who knows, I'm guessing, of, you know, mean mommy, nice mommy, or something, who, I don't know, it's not, I haven't really explored it, but that's what was getting at, like, triggered
yes.
up.
Yes.
But that's what's really important for me, unconsciously, is trustworthiness.
Yeah. Well, and so I would project, let's just go through the messages, right? What you're projecting is, I need you to be the way I need to be in order to be okay. Right? There's a certain way in which this is going to go that will assist me to feel that way. Because underneath, I don't feel like I can trust anyone. Right? I have to be on guard. And so when that, to me, the most salient thing you said, Elizabeth, is the awareness of the dissonance as a clue to the identification. That's it. Right?
Like, because, well, I guess I was thinking, why does it bother me so much that, you know, sometimes I feel that I'm getting this message, sometimes this other message is being said, and you just
I believe, yes, the insight dropped in. It's probably because somewhere something is being triggered for me that is contrary to either how I want, how I am, or how I need to be, or how I need you to be, or all of those various beliefs and assumptions that's getting challenged because it's not being mirrored.
Yes.
And that's what Sherry was talking about. Her job is to always never mirror ego. Yes. So you can see when you're an ego.
Yes, I just didn't. This exercise today helped me see it. And the other layer on top of that is because this all happens in a public form, you know, quote unquote, sangha, then the whole abandonment and safe comes in because I've spoken up about it and why aren't other people speaking up or whatever goes on with that and not doing kind of diet of the mind on that or like.
Exactly. Yeah, it's helpful to be able to see what operates us and why we react in those ways.
It's salvational.
Salvational, yes. Good word, thank you. June, that's a question.
I will try to speak loudly.
And I will try to reflect you.
All right. First of all, is it okay to kind of talk about this in Enneagram terms?
Sure.
I am the letter that I am very sure I participate in most is the I, which in Enneagram is the 9. And in this exercise, I was able to see for the
you can be heard.
For the first time, how much I am the type right next to me, which is the A, which is the 1.
Uh-huh.
I've had inklings as I've looked through years, but this exercise just brought it into sharp relief. Mm-hmm. Partly because I haven't slept 3 nights, and my body is trash. My emotions are on the edge of the cliff, you know. And sitting here in group, okay. Nineness of what conflict is roaring up, but I'm going to step beyond it. Listening to people not understand what the exercise is, person after person after person, not knowing what to do, not being clear, has just ticked me off so badly. And I'm sitting back here gesticulating and sighing and then instantly hoping no one saw me do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, anything to avoid conflict, because the core message was, and I grew up in the Deep South, so this will make sense to others, it's dangerous to be contrary.
Mm-hmm. Dangerous
contrary.
It's dangerous to be contrary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so many interesting things, right, June? Because, first of all, the reason, I could have easily said this is Enneagram, find your Enneagram.
Yeah.
But there's a way in which if we label ourselves, we don't give ourselves the flexibility to explore something, right? And then we watch what happens. So, right, because you're a 9 sometimes, you're 1 some other time, and you're a 2 some other time, right? And so to watch that whole process of whatever's going on with you.
Huh.
And then be able to recognize what's arising, or how the scrambler is operating now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and really to find the compassion for the person who hasn't slept for 3 days and is being manipulated by all these messages. How you should be, how everyone else should be, how you should behave, how you should not behave. And that's all we get to watch and hopefully hang a framework around it that assists us to disidentify from it. Thank you. Sequoia.
So, just like a little assistance to look at this a little bit more.
Assistance to look at it a little bit more.
I most resonated with G.
You most resonated with G. What's G?
Which was, that's exciting, let's do it, da-da-da-da-da, and the
enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm.
Excitement is what resonated for
me. And the core message is being trapped, bored, limited, and actually...
being trapped, bored, limited.
And not deserving to exist.
And not deserving to exist. Yes, it can see how it fits together,
yeah.
Right? You don't deserve to be exist. So I have to compensate by being exciting and not limited and
thinking
all of
outside
that.
Outside of the box
and yes.
Yeah, not obeying the rules and
not obeying the rules.
Right.
Wow, you landed in a monastic community.
And so here I am.
but we have guidelines,
which
not
is,
rules. Go ahead.
Yeah, which is so. Yeah, part of what's interesting. So I can see. Wow, the pressure.
The
on
pressure.
Both sides of those. You
yes.
know, the extreme pressure to just be living as a bored, trapped. Not
yeah, I can't do that. The
I can't
extreme
do that.
Pressure of
right.
I can't be bored, I can't be limited, I can't be trapped.
Right,
and
I can't be, like, you know, completely outside the box. And
you
then
can't
the,
live like that.
And then I'm an introvert.
And you're an introvert. Uh-huh.
So I tend to not, all of that excitement and stuff tends to get... unexpressed.
It doesn't get expressed.
It doesn't get expressed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it just creates this. It's just so valuable.
Yes.
To see, have it out there to see what's going on.
Yes, it's very and truly there's no right way of doing this. And the homework assignment would be to try to find your different sets of messages in different situations or interactions because. It's all going to be different, but for you, the putting it out there is so important because it clues you into the pressure cooker that the human being is living in.
That is the thing I'm just getting most in touch with.
Yes, that's the thing we all want to get in touch with, to get to what Sherry was talking about, right? That I have to be so moved by the human being's plight that I'm willing to do whatever it takes against those voices to go save her.
Right.
And this is illuminating for you, the catch-22 she's living in.
Mm-hmm.
She can't, she's not allowed to express, but she's not supposed to be trapped.
Right.
She's put into a situation where she can't be out of the box, and then she has to be out of the box. That's very simplistic,
so.
But the cauldron that you're cooking in,
yeah. Well, it's just extremely stressful.
It is extremely stressful.
And just lastly, I mean, the situation that came up with it.
The situation that we came up
that
with?
That came up that I, you know, have the big reaction to. I was having that same thing in the group when people kept people keep asking questions. It's like,
you were maybe you are of the same type, Sequoia.
That why can't you just, you know.
Can't you just
be quiet and do, you know, just be nice.
Just be nice. Don't be contrary.
I'll be contrary.
Well, and that's so important because we often think it's me thinking, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'm having this experience of telling everybody to just not be who I'm not allowed to be.
Exactly, exactly. And then the other thing is when someone questions, did you remember to do the da-da-da? Or did you do, oh my gosh, you know, she just gets like, who do you think I am? You know, and so I just seeing that that's that is just an identity.
Yeah.
That,
Well, to see, if we look at the process we saw today, that is the tool we want to apply, right? So as soon as that, whatever reaction shows up, to get that signal that some identity is being thwarted,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Either who I am, or how I am, or how I need you to be. How I'm perceived,
yeah.
Which is triggering that survival message at the bottom that I'm not going to be okay because I'm this person, this core message now,
mm-hmm.
Right? And to be able to see that that's what's going on, just a glimmer of awareness, so I could get out the recorder and get to the bottom and go save the human being.
Mm-hmm.
To reclaim her in love and acceptance so she's not being tortured with how unworthy she is or how inconsequential she is.
Yeah.
You don't deserve to exist,
yeah.
Is what's driving.
Yeah.
Did you remember to do something? Oh my God, what do you think I am? Because it's triggering.
Yeah.
If you don't think that I'm capable of doing this adequately, I don't exist.
Right. I don't deserve, I know, I have to be proving it all the time.
I have to be proving it all the time.
That I deserve to take up
space. That you deserve to take up space.
Life or breath.
Yeah. And if we can run it through the model and get to that's what's going on,
mm-hmm.
There's such a level of compassion we could bring to that whole experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's what we keep saying. Nobody else is going to do that for us, right? Because they're going on with whatever. I mean, look at the messages.
Yeah.
The person who says, did you recall whatever, wants to be on top of it. And here's the person who's going, why are you questioning my competency?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The communication that's going on is not what's said,
yeah.
But what's being heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, I know. Yeah, there's just a whole...
It's really sad.
A whole lot of miscommunication. That's intense.
Yeah, there's no communication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you. One more, and then Justin. Oh, sorry. Justin, could you hold that? I saw Karen before you, and then.
One of the things I noticed is that there was so much humor in the exercise for me all the way until I got to the core message. You know, I thought it was just so delightful to see, you know, how I want you to perceive me and who I need to be. You know, and basically, I want you to see me as easygoing, kind, intelligent, loving, and wise. If you don't mind.
Please!
I need things to be harmonious, peaceful, and I'm very independent. I have almost no needs from you or demands, and whatever you want for yourself, that's what I want for you too, kind of thing. And it was just so illuminating to see that. And but then when I got down to the core message, and I actually saw an interaction where this happened, where a lot of times when things don't go the right way, I feel blindsided.
Yes.
Huh. And there's the I'm unclear, conflicted, and complicated.
Mm.
There it is. And it always feels like it comes out of the blue. I don't know what happened. I don't understand it. I'm trying to... And I can just kind of see the identity built herself up,
yes.
to be able to survive in that.
Yes. Yeah. That if I'm okay if all of these are true about me, but as soon as I confront that place where you're talking about, wow, it's not that sense of I don't know, I don't know. Yeah, and it's beautiful the way you're saying it, Karen, because that's the clue of the bottom of the well, right? It's what Scott was talking about yesterday. We're not allowed to see that. The whole construct of the identity is to maintain something that we are told we are too afraid to confront as the truth of who and how we are.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm operating at that level of compensation, and the compensation is so that I don't have to see the scary message. That's what I'm compensating for.
Yeah. Well, and it's almost a really simple way of looking at it. If I wanted to, you know, how I want you to perceive me, it's like this person that's always sort of in control. And in the core message,
yeah.
This person that is in chaos.
In chaos, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what we're moving towards is, so we realize the construct of the identity. We realize the suffering that happens when the identity is confronted because the core message is being activated. And what we're seeing is we're not allowed to see what the core message is because we'll crumple, our existence will crumple. But that is just that is the core identification that we want to disidentify from, because that's not who you are authentically. If you are wisdom, love, and compassion, who cares about being in chaos? There are volcanoes and earthquakes,
yeah.
Right? But that's it. That's the separation from an identification with all that is. I'm not that. Ego is that. But if I never get to see that that's ego because it scared me from seeing it, the edifice remains in place.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, I see, you know, I see the little kid that never understood.
Yes. Yeah.
And kind of how everything developed.
Yes. Yeah. And we want to save her.
What?
And you want to save her.
Yeah.
Right? You become that person that she never had, who's willing to say, I know you don't understand.
Yeah.
Let's figure it out together. And maybe we don't need to. We can just have fun.
Yeah.
Right? And none of that means you're not kind, you're not wise, you're not loving, you don't have any needs. None of that means that.
Well, and the truth of it is, I don't really think it does have anything to do with her.
It doesn't.
And I think when these communications happen, they actually, and I actually learned this, I confirmed it, it actually didn't have anything to do with me.
Yes, it has everything to do with the other person's ego.
Yeah.
And they're surviving.
Yeah. And, but where I go is into that, wait a minute, like, what's going on? You know, like, wandering in the dark, and that's just so interesting. And
yeah, it is
such a great exercise.
Thank you. Well, we have to go to yoga, so I saw three hands here. Maybe we could pick it up this afternoon. Okay, thank you.